You're listening to the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Community Radio Association, the NCRA, and, of course, our full-hour show on CITR 101.9 FM.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said, boy, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got...
And of course, you are listening to the Community Living Show here on the NCRA radio networks and on CITR 101.9 FM. It's been a while. I'm Kelly, Kelly Rayburn on the controls, and it looks as though I'm doing the host as well, partly, until Michael Rubin comes to help us out or whatever. But the show must go on. Anyways, we're going to play you a little bit of the, we're not going to play something of a musical or whatever it is, as I was thought that that was supposed to be. There was something I wanted to talk to you about, maybe a little bit later on. When we go on to the show, here we go. Some more clips on Autism Live. One about Ed Enser talking about response to autism speaks criticism. Enjoy. We'll be back in a moment.
I really want to talk about something that happened over the last week. A well-respected science journalist named Steve Silberman released an op-ed piece in the LA Times entitled Autism Speaks Needs to Do More Listening, or a Lot More Listening. Liz Feld wrote a beautiful response that is available on the Autism Speaks website. I urge everyone to go read it. But my father actually wrote a response that was not in any newspaper or not on a national website, and I certainly would like people to hear what he has to say. It's not often I have to shout out what he has to say, but this time I really feel it's worth it, and I wanted you all to hear it. So I'm going to read it to you. This is Ed Asner's response to Steve Silberman's op-ed piece. And I'm going to need my reading glasses for this. Steve Silberman's op-ed piece in the Los Angeles Times titled Autism Speaks Needs to Do a Lot More Listening was an interesting example of the pot calling the kettle black. Silberman issues all sorts of examples of how Autism Speaks is running in the opposite direction of what individuals with autism are in need of. It seems as though he took the hyperbole of the Boycott Autism Speaks group without actually researching what Autism Speaks does. I'm the father of a son and a grandfather to grandsons on the spectrum. In my 19 years of being connected with autism, I find it hard to come up with another organization that has done more for individuals with autism than Autism Speaks has or does. Silberman is quick to criticize an annual fundraiser that Autism Speaks has called Light Up the Blues. I was lucky enough to be in the audience this year, and one of the highlights of this concert over the last 3 years has been the event's celebration of the talents of individuals with autism. Spencer Hart, Nick Guzman, Rio Wiles, Matt Savage, Lexington Aaron, and Zoli Mora have all graced the Light Up the Blues stage with some of the biggest stars in music and have risen to the occasion. He also criticizes the Autism Speaks walks, which bring hope to thousands of families across the country and connects them to valuable resources. Silberman asks readers to imagine an all-white NAACP making a preposterous comparison to the executives and board of Autism Speaks. Many of the board members and executives of Autism Speaks have children on the spectrum, and I'm one of them. They are parents. Parents who, like me, want to see their children and adults living with autism have the best chance at a life they richly deserve. While I agree that it is time for an individual with autism to be on the board, this comparison is misleading at best. I am a parent that has been helped by Autism Speaks, and I believe that anyone with a horse in the autism race has been as well. While Autism Speaks Science Department continues to lead in that area, Autism Speaks has made great strides in other areas. Their resource toolkits are available for free on their website. They help many people through their autism treatment networks, two of which are in Southern California. The Children's Hospital in Los Angeles and the Center for Autism and Neurodevelopmental Disorders in Irvine. In the issues of housing and employment, they have come a long way, with the news that they are working on housing legislation in three states. There is a housing portal that individuals with autism and their families can use to find housing. Autism Speaks has formed a partnership with thespectrumcareers.com, a website run by an individual with autism, dedicated to finding employment for individuals with autism. They helped pass insurance legislation in 42 states and also were instrumental with the passage of the ABLE Act. Autism Speaks offers annual community grants, swimming grants, summer camp grants, and an iPad grant program. They work in training first responders and have addressed the issue of wandering. It is important to mention that one of AS's biggest criticisms has always been that they are too big and that the science dollars aren't going to anything tangible, which I don't personally agree with. I feel it is extremely important to point out the missing project, one that Silberman dismisses. This partnership with Google will map 10,000 full genomes of individuals with autism and their families and will live on the cloud and be available to all who are researching in autism. The fact that this large organization is creating something available to all that is not proprietary, not trademarked or copywritten, that I believe should and will lead to a better understanding of autism and better treatments for individuals with autism is something that everyone should be talking more about. I believe in this organization that is doing everything it can to change the world for people like me, my sons, and grandsons. Sorry, for people like my sons and grandsons, Ed Asner. So now I'm just going to say one quick thing about this, and then we're going to move on. I work at Autism Speaks, and I chose to work at Autism Speaks because I believe in what they're doing. I believe that they are the only organization out there that can move the way we need to move in this world. And the only way for us to really do it is to work with other people and other organizations and to be together on this. Because it's a very small world, and we need to stick together, or it's not going to get done. I have three sons with autism, all differing levels of autism, and each one of them I feel incredibly blessed to have in my life. I have a brother with autism who's 27, who's finding it very hard to get a job. I think it's important for him to be able to work in this world as an individual with autism. And I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to continue doing everything I can to fight and make sure that they have the life they need, that they have the life they deserve, because they deserve it. They deserve to have a chance at a fruitful life, and I believe that what Autism Speaks is doing is going to help them get there.
It's as Sanders responding to the Autism Speak criticism. This is the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks. Excuse me, I'm still having a bit of a bad throat here. What have I done over the summer days? Well, mostly just relaxing and some holiday breaks and that sort of stuff. Oh, and by the way, we're hoping to have a special event sometime in October next month to talk some issues on the residential schools for First Nations and, of course, the people with difficult... No, it's the people with special needs. I think it's the school that is called the Woodland School that happened in, well, I wouldn't say when it happened, but it, you know, from what I'm, sorry, I'm just blurring some of the stuff out. It's morning anyways, it's around 9:12 if you're listening to us on the radio right now. But anyways, I'm hoping to get Gennaro Gil Sullivan help talk about one of the residential schools from the perspective of from the First Nations, along with one of our co-hosts that used to do our show, Richard McDonald, who was a residential. I hate this. And one of the residential schools for First Nations and for special needs people, residential correctional centers, such as the Woodlands facility. So that's in progress, and we will try and talk about that, and once we get onto that process. So right now I'm going to play you another clip called Introducing Autism Speaks.
To enable the type of sharing that we want with Missing, we're utilizing the Google Cloud. And so what happens is that as our sequence is being generated at Macrogen, which is a South Korean company, they upload the data into the Google Cloud. And then from the Google Cloud, that is where the data is hosted and then made available to individuals who want to work with it. The web portal actually sits in the Google Cloud and accesses data in the Google Cloud, and you interact with it that way. Previously, you'd have to ship huge hard drives full of data from place to place if different labs wanted access to it. Now, that's not a problem. It's already preloaded onto the cloud. Existing around it are this whole set of tools, both from the Google Genomics side as well as this web-based interface, that you can begin asking questions immediately. There isn't this transfer of data issue that has been there before, because it's all sitting there in a format ready to be explored. You can quickly be able to search among the families and find variants that have statistically significant associations with particular clinical characteristics. All of these types of things are possible within the web-based portal. I mean, you think about the amount of effort and work that has gone into understanding autism to this point. And yes, we've made great strides and we're much further along, but what Missing is a recognition that we're still not there, that there are key data gaps that still exist, and that's what Missing is meant to solve. And we really believe that the only way to tackle something this big is with combining as many minds as possible. This is a very significant, very audacious undertaking. It really is cutting edge. It's leading the field. It speaks a lot to the organization to see the possibilities out there and bring that back to our families and to actually be one of the leaders in this area. But in fact, many other disease areas are beginning to look at this as a way to be able to bring value back to their families. And you're going to see examples again and again. Just within the last year, a group at University of Washington identified a mutation in a gene called CHD8 that was causative for a subset of individuals with autism spectrum disorder. And what they've seen since discovering that is all the individuals with that particular gene mutation have a very consistent facial morphology, have a consistent set of other kinds of health issues. So now you actually have something. You have something that the clinicians can work with, that the parents can work with, because now that you have that data, that very specific definition of that form of autism, you know the specific health risks and you can begin to deal with them. And I think that's what at the heart we want to deliver for all the families, is that kind of empowerment.
And, of course, that was Introducing the Autism Speaks, MS, SNG Research Portal. All right, so we're going to take a break and sell some goodies here. I'm not fully ready myself, so I'm going to play you a couple more promos and some stuff, and we'll be right back in a moment here on the NCRA Radio Networks and also on the CITR 101.9 FM. Be back in a moment.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Whoever said money can't buy you friends obviously wasn't a member at CITR. When you become a member, you get the Friends of CITR card with incredible discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, RX Comics, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Techs, the Wallflower Modern Diner, and Woo Vintage Clothing.
To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or go online to citr.ca.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate, remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What's this Pilate? He fiddled while...
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sienna.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Late night show is the start of the weekend. We play all types of D&B or jungle for the first half of the show. On the second half of the show, it gives you that irritating noise that you just don't want to hear it. Or it could be some ambient sounds that might drift off and or fall asleep in a moment of life. Or it could be some new age that you just heard on most stations, but even better. Or it could be that this music has no beat or drums in that music. Either way, tune into the late night show, now broadcasting on Saturday mornings at 12:30 a.m. right after the Medicine Show, also hosted by new DJ Rain and Jason Lawrence. If you happen to hear us around the world, you can always check us out at CITR.ca. You're tuning to the late night, not to the late night show. That's what you just heard on CITR 101.9 FM. You're tuned into Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Mike Rubin. If you're still listening to us, I'm doing the best I can, so hang in there. This one is by Gary Jeshes. In the animated, it's not, I don't know if it's a song or not, but it's Animated Avatars. Let's just have a listen, and we'll come right back in a moment.
Maybe I could show you real quickly how I'm controlling Morphe.
I want to see that. Yes.
Would that be okay?
Yes. Please tell us.
All right. So I'm just going to slip on this other headset, and it's got a microphone on it. And the way that this works is that it picks up my voice, and my voice actually drives Morphe's lips.
Wow.
Yeah. So actually, as I talk, you can kind of see in the background character here, Morphe's lips are moving also.
Very cool. Okay. Hi,
so that
Morphe.
Makes it automatic.
Great.
And then this device is called a digital tablet with a stylus,
uh-huh.
And actually, as I move the pen around on the stylus, Morphe's going to move on the screen.
Oh, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Isn't that neat? And then facial expressions. the top row here are a set of sliders, actually. And so I'll give you a closer look, but it's actually when I'm up in these sliders is when I'm controlling Morphe's facial expressions. And then the other control is very simple. It's right here on my left hand, and that is a joystick that actually moves Morphe's eyes around. Looks like it got a little bit disconnected here, but we'll be able to show you that in another example in a second.
Okay.
So let's go to Morphe. What do you say?
Let's do
okay.
it.
Let's go. And we're going to ask Morphe some questions. Hi, Morphe. Okay. How are you?
Hi, everybody. It's great to be here with you today. This is super fantastic. Wow, being here with you and Shannon. This is awesome. Ooh.
Morphe, you are absolutely gorgeous. I know you're a guy, but you're absolutely gorgeous. I should have said
oh,
handsome.
You're too kind.
Are you happy today, Morphe?
Oh yeah, I'm so happy. I could flip. Woohoo! Oh yeah. Wow. That's how happy I am. How about you? You happy too?
I would like to do a flip like that too, Morphe, but I don't think it's happening right now.
I'm happy
it might,
now.
Might hurt a little.
Yeah. So, Morphe, do you ever get scared?
Well, every now and then I get scared, like when I was looking over there and I saw this giant shark headed my way. That was kind of exciting, you know what I mean? But turned out that it's no problem. I can still be happy. It was a whale shark.
I am loving this. This, you know, I've always loved puppets and worked with puppets when I
yes.
was younger. This is like the ultimate in puppetry.
It's combining your techno geek passions with puppetry.
Nancy likes to make fun of me because I say I'm a techno geek, but I know nothing. I don't even know how to turn my smartphone on.
You don't know how to turn your smartphone on? Oh, there goes the whale shark.
Morphe, are you excited about working with kids with autism?
Well, you know, I was really surprised, you know what I'm saying, that there was so much involved with autism because, you know, people that really don't have children on the spectrum kind of underestimate what those parents and therapists have to go through, I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we know about kids with autism, Morphe, is that eye contact with a human being is not easy for them, but it's much easier with an animated character. So I'm going to guess that they could start working on eye contact with you and see more progress and then have that change to the therapist.
Yeah, there's all sorts of cool aspects to it, really. You know, the non-intimidating factor of a cartoon is one thing. And then also, you know, what's really neat is the anxiety levels of the child seem to drop as they start to interact with the character. And when it comes to autism, that could be a big deal, you know.
Sure
that
can.
The character's able to kind of welcome them into a, just a little world of his own.
I think my son would love you, Morphe, and he has a lot of anxiety, but I think he would absolutely love you. And I might add, you have beautiful eyes.
You really
oh,
do.
You're so kind.
I love it when your eyes get nice and wide like that. Hysterical. So, Morphe, how can parents who want or practitioners who are working with kids on the autism spectrum and want the child to be able to play with you, how can they make an arrangement to do that?
Well, you know, maybe I could throw that one back over to Gary.
Let's do that. Let's throw that back to the man who created you.
That is,
your father.
I want to play with this toy.
He's so cute.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Here, I'm going to disconnect Morphe here
okay,
for
Gary,
a second.
But, give you a minute there. And then we want to hear how you're going to bring this technology to our kids and to our families. Where you've got your voices in front of a lot of families right now watching. Gary, how are we going to be able to utilize this?
Well, one of our big goals was actually to be able to get it into the hands of people in the autism community. And so we've started out with our initial offer, which I introduced in July at the Autism Society's annual meeting in Denver. And what we're introducing is a complete technology package that includes the computer, the control devices that I've been using here, the software license, and includes characters all on a complete system that's pretty much plug in and play. And that's this little computer right here. It's even about half the size of an Xbox, actually, and it's a Dell Alpha computer. And the reason that we provide the computer and not just send out software is because there are certain system requirements mm-hmm. that are involved with our technology, our software, and also that we want to make sure that everything is up and running before our customer, you know, tackles it, basically starts to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're doing. On the Alpha here, the price tag is about $2,800.
Okay.
And so that's, we've learned, gotten feedback from folks in the community, particularly parents, that that's not the price that they expect or wish to pay to get involved with this.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're offering that, and we think that we're really going to get takers in form of autism treatment centers and therapists who
yeah.
can see the value of having the technology right away, because it's really going to be about a year. It's going to take us about a year for us to be able to develop the next version of this, which is actually our approach is going to be to try to get it onto Microsoft's Xbox and sell it through the Microsoft Store as an Xbox right. app.
That's a great yeah. idea.
Now, Gary, how can those interested in this contact you? Where do they find you?
Well, our website is called animationforautism.com, and they can also look up Invirtua, Invirtua, on the web and find us that way. And then my other company called Chops.com, Chops Live Animation, we have links there also. So we hope that we're pretty visible there. You can also find us, stick us up on Facebook or Twitter.
That was Gary Jesch on talking about animated avatars. We're going to come right back in a moment. This is the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks, National Campus, and Community Radio Association Networks. And we'll be right back.
Tune in every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. with your host, Jed, as he starts off with some serene, chill tracks at the beginning and slowly builds to the insanest face melters of all time. Crescendo will take you on a musical magic carpet ride that you couldn't imagine in your wildest dreams.
Listen in as one poor soul tries to find something good to enjoy on the radio. Let's see here, God. Ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Ugh.
Isn't there anything, 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 anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or check us out online at CITR.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Listen, kid, the 8th Annual Accordion Noir Festival runs from September 10th to the 13th, featuring New York's Angelica Negron doing electronic pop songs, the classical toy accordion, album releases by Wendy McNeil, who traveled from Alberta to Spain, Love, and Jeff Berner, who traveled from Carisdale to East Bend for the accordion. Plus all ages performances, accordion repairs by Montreal's Melodona, free workshops, and more. For venues, dates, and times, visit AccordionNoirFest.com.
You tune in to the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Community Radio Association. I am Kelly Rayburn. Guess who just showed up? Michael Rubin.
Well,
how are you?
I'm doing well, very well. I suppose there's some folks in Richmond that aren't too happy right now. There's a big structure fire on the Westminster Highway.
Ouch.
Yeah, it tied up both the Highway 99 and the Highway 91. For those of you who are actually listening live in Vancouver right now, so if you have to go that way, be prepared for a bit of a wait. So,
You were talking about some other issues now. This is the TransLink issue?
It was in today's province. TransLink is balking on extending SkyTrain hours.
Right.
Once again, of course, they're quoting that they don't have funding or whatever to do these things.
Of course not.
Because they didn't win the plebiscite.
Okay.
But the thing is if I was sitting with them as a business consultant, I would tell them, "Is like, get over it, and you should be able to make money through the fares because there's actually riders out there who want to use services."
Mm.
So, you know, there's other ways of getting funding without taxing people.
So. In other words, take the night bus.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I've just realized now that with the start of UBC in session and Simon Fraser University in session and other universities are in session, more services that are going to those facilities have increased the service on those. And have you been to Pender Street lately?
Where in Pender?
Downtown Pender.
Downtown Pender. Last week I was.
Okay. Did you see any water construction happening?
I saw some kind of construction down there. I don't know what they were actually building.
Well, just to let listeners know, some of the buses have been rerouted due to Pender Street water main construction thanks to the city of Vancouver. So the project started around August 10th. It will probably end around January or so in 2016.
Yeah.
Portions of the route will be closed and placing water.
Yeah, I know somewhere near Main Street they had one turnoff closed off and the buses rerouted or something like
that.
I didn't know what it was. Yeah.
Just to let listeners know. And of course, some of our buses that normally come on, I mean, yesterday I was at a open house in Bridgeport. What's the name of the place? River Rock? Yeah, River Rock Casino Resort. And you can check it out on their website. It's about the BC Ferries, the Southern Gulf Islands construction of the building of the new ships, replacing Queen of Nanaimo. Queen of Nanaimo. So
you were just recently on a ferry, weren't you?
I was going to...
Going to Victoria?
Yeah.
You were visiting our good friend Peter Bourne.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
given this because he posted on Facebook.
Yeah. Yes. And giving them some CDs and stuff. Yeah, I wrote a column saying if you're from, you know, you're from Victoria when series. And I posted, you know, you're from Victoria when you see this guy, Peter Bourne. So.
Yeah.
So it was fun. I just gave him some previous CDs and chatted some bits. And I'm hoping CFUV, which is on the island, CFUV will do this kind of show, the community living show, so that Peter can listen to the show, and not only Peter can listen to it, maybe some other people with disabilities can listen to it as well, since they don't have a computer. You know, some of the technologies they have, like CITR.ca and NCRA.ca and those kind of stuff, are good, But you need to present it to the people that don't have computers.
Right.
That don't have the technology for those kind of things.
Well, when I was in Victoria, and it was my first trip into Victoria, and I just happened to run into one of the commercial radio stations, and we were just talking about radio in general.
Right.
And they said that Victoria needs more independent programming.
True.
They said there's too much commercial stuff and not enough independent stuff. So, and this is coming straight from one of the techs for one of their larger Victoria's larger radio stations.
Okay.
And they were setting up to do the big splash thing where they have the orchestra play in the middle of the whatever the water thing is in front of the where the ships are in front of the
it's the not Parliament the Symphony building. Splash.
Yeah, the Symphony
Splash. Oh, it is the Symphony
yeah,
Splash.
Yeah, I wasn't able to stay for the Symphony Splash because I hadn't planned out for that for being there all that time.
Right.
So I had to leave before the Symphony Splash actually started, but I was watching them set up for it, and there was a commercial radio station there, and we were talking about stuff,
the supportives and stuff.
Yeah, and they said that that is something that's missing in the market there, and they said as a commercial radio station, it would actually enhance some. It's something that's needed in that market area.
Mm-hmm. You were mentioning about some marketing stuff like Symphony Splash. I did mention about it through the open house for BC Ferries that maybe they should do some sort of a special, I would say a Gulf Islands Days. For example, if you're going to Galliano Island, for example, and for the weekend, and this is going to be similar. It's like a summer event. It's similar to what we do for Car Free Days in Vancouver. And one weekend in Galliano Island, they'll have their special Gulf Island Days and what they do for their festivities and communities. So you invite people like BC Ferries to say, okay, let's take this to the media for that matter and say it, advertise it in Victoria and advertise in Vancouver saying, we're doing these Gulf Island Days. We're doing some special sailings on BC Ferries, for that matter. And a lot of people will come to the special day, for that matter, all day, every day. Even if they do a nonstop route from Schwartz Bay or Swanson, for that matter, for that weekend.
Right.
And then the following weekend could be in Sertina Island, for that matter, for the Gulf Island Days. They do their special events, activities for everybody, and you send out the notice to, again, both Victoria and Vancouver via BC Ferries saying we're doing this special, again, part of the Gulf Island Days special. And, of course, BC Ferries will have special promotions and stuff like, you know, we'll have extended non-stop ferries from Swanson to Sertina Island, or
they could even run two boats just specifically for that event that you can maybe purchase a ticket ahead of time.
That's right. You know? Well, it's a sort of thing. It's called reservations on board BC Ferries, so that they can
reserve your seat your spot ahead of time for that particular event.
Right.
It would be a great way to, it's great community building.
Yeah, so basically, they're about, five islands down there, for that matter?
Yeah.
So, that kind of thing. And then, when they're not doing any special, I was just proposing of maybe adding three ships. Not just the one new ship, but adding three new ships. Pretty much similar to what Washington State Ferries are doing.
Yeah.
What they're doing for Washington State Ferries is have one ferry from the mainland, Anacortes, to San Juan Islands, do their the route and then come back to pick up more passengers for Anacortes. And then have the other, and then they've got a second ferry where they only serve the inner islands only. They don't stop over to Anacortes or anything. They just serve the inner island ferries only. I'm hoping, what I'm hoping to try and do for to say to BC Ferries is, listen, maybe we should do similar to what the Washington State Ferries are doing. Have one ferry from Tsawwassen and have one ferry from Swartz Bay, and then have a third ferry doing the inner ones so they all commute together.
Yeah, make it a more of an intricate system, network, instead of just single trips.
Yeah, what BC Ferries are proposing is kind of like similar to the Alaska Ferries in a way. Mm-hmm. So they go from one.
The other thing that would be really cool, though, is what I noticed is that they had, I'm going to say sea taxis in Victoria.
Okay. You mean water taxis?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that's what we called them when I was on the East Coast. That's what we called them. We called them sea taxis. Yeah. Water taxis.
Well, we call them water taxis. Yeah.
They could actually run just passenger only.
Yeah. Well, they do that with
ferries to run from out of Victoria and things like that to some of the other smaller islands. Just run passenger only. Don't run them with where they pick up the cars.
Mm.
The boats are less expensive.
Yes.
Actually, New York City does that.
I know.
They have a bunch of ferries like that.
There's another. I know BC Ferries does one of the portions of the passenger ferries. That's Keats Island and Cortes Island near the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah.
They do that kind of a similar system to passengers. And I guess you're right. I know they do run from Horseshoe Bay to Bowen Island, but it's not part of BC Ferries Corporation. It's the Bowen Island Water Taxi Facility. I know there's one linked from the Granville Island to Bowen Island, and there's one from Horseshoe Bay to Bowen Island as water taxis when BC Ferries aren't running, for that matter.
Yeah.
So
it would give them an opportunity to put more boats out there to get more people going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't. Those boats are less expensive to build than a boat that'll carry cars.
Mm. Right.
You know, you're talking more cargo.
Right.
If you go more passengers, less cargo, you can. It's a ferry. It's supposedly passengers, so you can get, you can make more money off of it, increase your profit. So it's just some things that they should think about. You know, will they or will they not is another story.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes corporations just get stuck in a direction and they can't see their way around a difference. You know.
Mm-hmm. So. I just realized when we're doing Twitter, guess who followed us?
Who?
CITR.
Oh.
They just followed us on Twitter now. I just said, thank you very much for following. Please tell everybody to spread the word. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And, of course, if you do want to follow us, our Twitter account is at Sea Living Radio. That's right. Our Twitter account. And I did mention earlier today that starting October, I'm inviting Gennarji O'Sullivan and Richard McDonald to do a kind of like a head-to-head conference, both First Nations on residential schools and institutional places.
Right.
Not just for First Nations, but also people with disabilities as well. that comes, Richard, comes in as well.
That's one of the directives that one of the guests we had on before, Peter Daniels, with the fundraising that'll go along with his movie An Open Door, is it's against warehousing people.
Okay.
You know, why do we need to pack people into institutions? Because
are they bad?
You know, I don't know. Is somebody with a disability bad?
No.
No.
Of course not.
Is a child who just of a different race bad?
No.
No. So why are we packing people away? It's something that our society needs to stop doing.
That's the question for people on people's mind, because these were those. I mean, that goes way back, right to the beginning of the century, where you're a black color. You go to an institutional place to learn more stuff. That kind of thing.
Yeah, you have to.
It's racial,
right? Exactly, and that's what the whole residential school system was about.
Mm-hmm.
Was it may be a bit harsh to say it was about genocide, but you know,
yeah.
But
I'm just saying.
It's definitely racial washing, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying. For example, if we were part of the United States, and I was saying to you, your skin color looks black, but if I was more like of a racial person saying you're black, you should be more of a part of the African American type side for
right,
that matter.
Exactly. So. It still kind of happens that way.
Yeah,
we're,
it does.
We're starting to get away from it, you know.
True. But I mean, everybody's human. Mm-hmm. Any type of color, any type of human culture for that matter. Yeah. So that's how I see it. So anyways, we got about 10 more minutes on to the show. I presented my upcoming show. Do you have any upcoming shows in the future?
I do. I am going to be collecting some sound bites from some of the things I'm going to be doing. September 27th, Autism Speaks is you were playing some responses of Autism Speaks earlier.
Yep, that's right.
they're going to be doing their walk September 27th here in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
I will be there as one of the photographers, and I'm also going to be carrying along my sound recorder, of course, and we'll try to catch some sound bites of what people have to say about the whole event while I'm there.
Hmm.
Then in October 5th through the 9th, sorry, Kelly, I will be absent from the studio that particular week.
When is this?
October 5th through the 9th.
Okay, so you have an exception of not coming. So.
Yeah, I will actually be in Whistler, and I'll try to collect some sound bites about the Impact Economy Project. I'll be posting more information of that up on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. So people can check that out and see if they're going to be in Worcester, they can actually attend this conference. Mm-hmm. And it's about building a new economy to build a better world, you know, so that the wealth gap can shrink.
Mm-hmm.
And right now the wealth gap is growing. There's a large difference between where we are with being in the top 1-2% of the richest people in the world to where the rest of the world actually is, where they start to become impoverished.
All right.
So they're trying to do something about that.
Cool.
So I'll come back with some sound bites from that.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm going to play you one more clip. This one was called Autism... Autism Safety Fair 2015 that was happening in yesterday, for that matter, at Huntington Beach. Jennifer Jones from the Autism Speaks talks about the Autism Safety Fair. And if you hear that kind of a buzzing sound, means one of our controls isn't working, so it's making that little bit of a buzzing sound. We'll be back in a moment.
But you've got something new that's coming up on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. The Autism Safety Fair being done by Autism Speaks, September 8th. Mm-hmm. Tell us where exactly it is.
Okay, it's I'm really excited. It's going to be in Orange County, mm-hmm. and it's in Huntington Beach at the Surf City Nights Street Fair. So we're piggybacking off of the street fair, and it should be a great number of people. People can register online for it. But
you've got the poster up on the screen now, too.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I always, really push for our national events to be in Southern California and, different areas within Southern California. Uh-huh. So it's a Autism Speaks national, objective that's coming here.
Yes.
And I pushed for it to be in Orange County, which, I'm really excited about, my home area.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be really great. I'm partnering with Marianne Sullivan and Brandon from our office, and it's going to be a really great event, and the objective of it is really to both educate, our families with autism, but as well as first responders. So we are going to have several first responders there, and the great thing is they can meet our kids, that our kids can meet them. So, the fire department, the police department, EMTs, lifeguards, all that type of thing. As you know, safety is such a huge issue, and really we need to educate our first responders so they know about our kids and how to respond to our children and how to respond to parents.
It's so important that you say that. Mm-hmm. I remember when Jem was little that, mm-hmm. We were told it's really important to make an appointment and mm-hmm. go visit the police station and mm-hmm. visit the fire department mm-hmm. so that he can meet them mm-hmm. so that in an emergency he's not afraid mm-hmm. of them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But what you just said, too, the flip is also important mm-hmm. that those first responders get to meet our kids mm-hmm. so that they understand mm-hmm. how to approach the situation. Because if you think about it, if your home were on mm-hmm. fire mm-hmm. and somebody in a big, bulky, smelly, because mm-hmm. those jackets mm-hmm. smell and they have reflective tape all over them, they come out of the smoke and go to pick you up. Mm-hmm. For our kids, that would look frightening, right?
Absolutely.
So we don't ever want to be teaching mm-hmm. that lesson in the mm-hmm. middle. And how is the fireman mm-hmm. who's got fear and adrenaline mm-hmm. going because absolutely. They're in a home in fire mm-hmm. and then the child runs away from them or is screaming or mm-hmm. or tries to bite them or hit them? To get on a page where everybody understands mm-hmm. that, these are good mm-hmm. people, when it's not happening is absolutely crucial and imperative.
Oh, absolutely. And, the great thing is that we will have a lot of information there for the families, mm-hmm. As well as, again, so the children can, meet the first responders and they can learn about each other. And, not only that, but, situations arise, unfortunately. And, I definitely had my share of it this summer with my own son, he is a big kid. He's 5'8", and he, outweighs me. And, he still has tantrums in public and, it appears aggressive. And, again, how, when you have certain situations, you want to make sure that the police understand.
Yes.
So, because it's not pretty sometimes. And
how many times have we seen this in mm-hmm. the recent years? Now that people are, I've heard people saying, was this always happening? Mm-hmm. And we just didn't have smartphones capturing it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the case mm-hmm. that these kinds of things have been happening. That we never want to make it seem that we're not appreciating mm-hmm. our first responders, mm-hmm. but we also have to do a little perspective taking that they're mm-hmm. in a position of address adrenaline.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
If they don't know what's mm-hmm. going on, they're mm-hmm. going to respond in mm-hmm. a way that is, for our community, is going to be over the top.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a responsibility mm-hmm. as people in the community to educate our kids mm-hmm. and to educate as many mm-hmm. of our first responders as we can so that we can avoid these potentially deadly situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was Autism Safety Fair. Jennifer Jones from Autism Speaks talks about the Autism Safety Fair happening. That happened yesterday. That is it for the program.
Yeah.
We're done. So if you want to get in touch with us, you can email us, communitylivingradio@gmail.com, Twitter us at CLivingRadio, and we do have a WordPress. I don't know if that's still working or not. Community Living Radio at WordPress.
Open,
we so do we have the...
Have to get it fixed.
Yeah, we need to get it fixed. So.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, so hopefully we will have that up and running pretty soon. So do stay tuned for other radio shows. Get rid of that buzzing sound.
Tune in next... For sure, make sure you tune in... next Thursday, we're going to have a book special. We'll have a special interview with the author, mm-hmm. and we'll be able to post up. She's going to make sure that we have all the appropriate links and everything for us to post up on Facebook next Thursday. Mm-hmm. So make sure you guys tune in and listen to that.
All right. We'll be back next week. Take care, everybody.